What's up, guys? Welcome back to Rice and Beans.
Season six.
Sick motherfuckers. Big O and Jester are in the house, and as you can see, we are in the same fucking place at the same fucking time.
What do I do to deserve that? I mean, shit, it's been, what, 3 years since I auditioned on that casting couch, and I'm still here? Who's the heathen here?
And we still got that couch, too. It's in good shape. Yeah. We get lots of use.
Got that white stain right there. Remember that time?
Thing gets more reaction than a couch at the psychiatric office at Betty Ford.
It gets more action than the bar stools at Waffle House.
More action than those fucking naughty head motherfuckers than singing in a pool.
How did that go? No, I am boy.
We revisited that yesterday during a brainstorming session, and it
just went off on tangents that you wouldn't believe.
It did. It was fun, but I can't believe those fuckers got famous off of that shit. They got booed off the stage. We saw that.
Yeah.
That was fucking funny. That was my favorite part of the whole video.
There's no semblance of black in them. They're not reggae, and they're just a bunch of punks with a whole bunch of tattoos trying to be Island Boys.
I like fucking Steve's reaction. I'm speechless because that shit sucked.
Really, you know, their lyrics should be more like Peninsula Boys because they're not an island. They're in Florida.
Fucking water Mexicans.
Oh, they should drown. I shouldn't wish that on anybody. They're young kids. They need to live a long, fulfilled life and realize the evil that they caused in this world.
Go out there and slap the shit out of them. Give them the beat down their fucking absent dad should have.
Oh, fucking Jane Silent Bob Strike Back type beat down.
Yeah. Where you're just like fucking, oh, did you say? And then, yep, fucking throw them away and start to miss.
That's not how we sing it. We sing it like, Island Boy.
Man, of all the people that should have fucking, you know, that did kick off this year that, you know, shouldn't have, and maybe those two fuckers could have traded places with them.
I don't know. If they were on the Jersey Shore, they would have probably been 6 feet under. I'm telling you, man. 6 years. 6 years,
I
man.
Oh, dude. This is crazy. I didn't fucking think this shit was going to last more than two.
Yeah, well, 3 years because I brought you back into this. You were on the 1 foot in the grave.
Pretty much. Fucking revitalized the show. And so, yeah, it's just, like, it's been a fun ride, and I'm glad we're back, and fucking you can see the new fucking Rice and Beans studio. We stepped it up. Everything's fucking looking good. We get, you know, some props and shit that we had.
You know, we have all this stuff right here, but if you look up in the far corner over there, we put in that new red pipe. Ask me what that red pipe's for.
What's that red pipe for?
No, I don't know what it's for. We just put it in there for ambiance, you know.
So they string up the Island Boys.
Yeah, it's for their shitter. Yeah, man, it's been great, man. I mean, it's been a good ride. I take that back. It's been a great ride, you know, to get my evil demons out of my head and out on the screen, you know, and have a good time, have fun, you know, and get some fact-checking done by Facebook to say that I'm full of shit when I put those memes out there.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with that? Facebook fucking fact-check your jokes. Like, they're jokes, asshole. This is not a fucking PBS informative hour. This is...
Okay,
comedy show.
I know Pornhub didn't ban Russia, you know, with porn, okay? I know, but it's funny. You know, talking about world-renowned cock block, you know, to Putin. Yeah, okay, fact check that shit. Who gives a fuck? It's funny. Did I make some people laugh? Sure. Did I create it? Hell no. Why are you fact checking me? It's somebody else's work. Did I say that loud? But true, right? I mean, so, you know, fact check this, motherfucker.
Right? It's like the one time you want to do your goddamn job and then you don't even do it right. Like, come on now. They're going to start fact checking chickens and eggs?
No, you know what they're going to start doing is those freaking fans only. They're going to fact check. No, you don't look that good with that makeup on. Take it off. If you're that ugly, you know, it's not fact.
Hey, you know, fuck. Remember when they were going to fucking, when they said they trolled everybody, said they were going to shut down and all the fucking tears they were being fucking weeped?
Yeah, but you know what? It wasn't just that. You know, people were pulling revenue out. They were like, if you're going to do that, then you know what? Fuck you. And they were going to lose millions of dollars.
Clenching their chest. I got to get a job.
Yeah. Speaking of fact checking, those titties aren't real. You got a fucking boob job. Check them facts.
Yeah, when they say, when those profiles that say all natural, yeah. Fucking, or the no makeup,
yeah.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
Caitlyn Jenner. What?
So yeah, man. Getting back to people that kicked off this, you know, this last year, 2 years. It's gosh. Like we lost a lot of good, you know, a lot of good ones. Some, you know, yeah. Okay ones. I think we can stand to lose a few more okays. Not yeah. just not, yeah. not the greats.
Yeah. You know, and you know, when we kicked off 2022, we lost at least 3 or 4 actors right away. It was nuts, man. I mean, the likes. We'll start off with Sidney Poitier. I didn't say that right, but Poitier, however you would say it.
Black French?
Yeah, something like that. He's dead, so he's not going to be mad at me.
Right. He's not going to be checking Twitter. Wait, did they fuck up my name? Did they fuck up my name?
Fact check that shit.
Right.
But, you know, all joking aside, you know, if you make fun of me when I die, I don't give a fuck. What am I going to do? Come out of my grave and make fun of you for making fun of me and being mad about that? No, it ain't going to happen. But, you know, he was a great actor. You know, I had grown up watching some of his movies and not realizing, you know, how prolific he was starting in 1958 in New York. He was working, you know, pretty much as a janitor, and he was sleeping in the subway, you know, bathroom, so to speak, you know, down there. He had nowhere to go, you know, and all of a sudden he had his first breakthrough. Yeah.
I mean, I've taken long shits before, but fuck, that's a little butch.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, he's in a bus terminal toilet, actually. You know, I got that mixed up. But, you know, he went on to his first movie. And when he did that, he broke through and got an Academy Award. You know, it was just amazing. You know, The Defiant Ones in 58. And then from that, you know, he went into The Heat of the Night. And that's a great movie. That it was humongous.
That one, I wasn't a huge fan of all the the movies that he was in, but I like in the heat. I mean, like almost everybody I've ever met, I've seen that movie.
And yeah, I mean, touches on racism and then goes to acceptance and then, you know, pretty much forgiveness and, you know, blacks and whites working together in the South to, you know, stop the evil people that, you know, were murdering at the time. You know, it was a breakthrough. It was a huge breakthrough, you know, of that moment. And going from that, you know, The Heat of the Night, it went on to become a successful series on TV. And that went on for 7 years, I believe it was, 7 or 8 years. And that was really good, even in its time in the 80s, you know. You know, going on to A Raisin in the Sun, you love that one, don't you?
No, he looks wasn't. Like that raisin was left out a little too long in the sun.
It was not a California race, so just calm down. But yeah, I mean, that was a great movie too. And then going on to They Call Me Mr. Tibbs, which was a follow-up of Heat of the Night. You know, he was doing odds and ends, small film roles and, you know, acting in other things of that time. But jumping into the 80s, he went on to do Little Nikita with River Phoenix, Joaquin's older brother that died in the Snake Lounge.
The Viper Room. It's crazy because I think we were like somewhere in the area when all that shit was going down, like at some other fucking club doing a gig. And then all of a sudden the next day, like we hear, oh, fucking motherfucker's dead.
I'm yeah.
like, oh shit. In Hollywood. And I was like, fuck, we didn't see any of that. But I guess we're at the fucking, the cheaper club. We'd have to pay to get in.
Well, we're a little late on that death though. Right.
Right. But that they did they covered that in some documentary series that they have on Hulu called Darker Side of the 90s. And it was about the Viper Room and how like it was Johnny Depp's like club for him and his friends to like hang out and not have the media come in. So they
play guitar too. He was part of a band during that time.
Oh yeah. They regularly had live music. These fucking super bands would play there because like the press couldn't get in and hound them, and they could do whatever the fuck they wanted, like basically afterwards. And like it was just one giant private party for them, and they could just let in whoever they wanted. So like fucking getting to that place was like fucking ridiculous. But
yep,
it It's crazy how like fucking shit just they could you get enough money you can just do some shit. You know what? Fuck it. I'm buying a fucking club for me and my friends. Fuck you all.
Yeah, people don't realize that there's a lot of little clubs out there that do this kind of stuff. I mean, back in Arizona, we had the Mason Jar, and you wouldn't believe some of the acts that came through. And we're talking about a small club venue, and we're talking big acts like Guns N' Roses. You know, freaking Sammy Hagar would come in. You know, Satriani would come through. You know, and play those gigs. Unfortunately, I was too poor to visit any of those at the time. You know, 18 years old and working at McDonald's for $5.58 an hour, but you know they were there. It was prolific. But getting back to Sidney Poitier, you know he went on to do Sneakers, which was a good
Redford.
Yeah, Robert Redford. You know that was an FBI flick, and then going on to do The Jackal, which I loved him in. That was more of a early 90s movie, late 80s, yeah. And being the FBI agent trying to hunt down Bruce Willis as a sniper, killer, it was really good. I mean, you know, you look at some of these things that he did and, you know, it resonates with not only the young but the old as well, these type of movies.
Yeah, and it was funny because I was like, we were talking about it, and it's The Jackal, I'm like, fuck, I don't. I think I saw that. I saw the fucking the of all things the fucking VHS cover from Blockbuster. Yeah. Stay tuned for more episode for a later episode on that.
Wait, you recognize that VHS cover and not the what was that called with the big boobs thing?
Giant knockers drive me bonkers.
Yeah, didn't drive you bonkers.
That was behind the red curtain. That's for our behind the red curtain episode. Y'all getting a little preview.
Yeah, every time we walked into the back room, all you heard was the beads go.
So you'll have to tune in later on in the season for more of that nostalgic type memory.
That's right.
But you know, besides Sidney, we lost a lot of other people that were like I remember like as kids. He's like, you know, like Super Dave, for example. Yes. Super Dave
Osborne.
Super Dave Osborne,
which was Bob, his on the air persona.
Right, Bob Einstein. Fucking Albert Einstein.
Yeah, Bob Albert's Einstein. Cousin. Yeah, so. Albert Brooks, his real last name is Einstein. He's the younger brother of Bob Einstein, who's Super Dave Osborne. And, well, you could pretty much put it together why he changed his last name. Because he wasn't a freaking genius.
Right.
But he is funny. He's a great actor. He may be smart, but he's not Albert Einstein smart. But then again, some people said Albert Einstein wasn't really that smart.
And at first when I heard Albert Brooks, I was like, is that Foster Brooks' real name? And then I'm like, no, wait. That guy's way younger.
I remember watching Albert Brooks in Defending Your Life. And he's with Rip Torn and that. And
oh, that guy's they're
eating. They're eating. He's all, what are you eating? What's on that plate? He's all, oh, shit. It's horse shit. Well, why are you eating horse shit? Well, you know, we can eat anything we want. It's a flavor. You know, you make any flavor. Can I try that? Yeah, you probably don't want to try it. You got a small pea brain. You haven't advanced as far as Eisman has. I think I'd like to try it. You sure? Yeah. And he eats it. Tastes like horse shit. Told you. But you know, so that family, that lineage was really, really funny. And Bob Einstein was you know, he has been around since the Smother Brothers back in the black and white era. So a lot of people don't realize that he played a character called Officer Judy. And I got to see some of that when I was a kid, but you know, I just kind of panned away. And there's a Netflix, I think it's Netflix, it might be Amazon Prime, about his life. You know, it's a documentary. And I saw some of that stuff again. I was just dying laughing because, you know, this guy, he was a writer. He did writer for Mad Magazine, you know, and I did a couple other things. And he was just straight laced. You know, he would not smile. So he would tell you a joke like, you know, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
Because the penis was stuck on the chicken. But that's how his monologue in his stationery went. He kept a straight face, but he knew how to get a punchline. He knew how to get it right in the gut and make you die laughing. So
I think guys like that, it's not so much the delivery, it's the timing.
Yes.
Like the timing is impeccable. Yeah. And it's just like, or like, because it's so monotone and like, it takes you a second to like, for the joke to like, to hit you. Like a fucking Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
Good example of that. Like the
escalator bit.
The candle holder bit.
Yeah.
So I bought a cake.
Yeah.
And it's like,
what?
Wait, what? Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, now yeah. I get it. Yeah, or the fucking neighbor knocking on the wall. There's no door on this side. Go around.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch some of this old stuff, you know, he's Officer Judy, and he's on a patrol bike. And, you know, one of the things that he does is he arrests Liberace on the piano while he's playing. It's so funny. He's writing him a ticket for playing the piano too fast. I mean, it's so stupid, ridiculous. But he doesn't crack a smile. He doesn't crack a laugh. He's just straight-laced all the way through it. Now, then you go through his prolific, you know, history, and he starts a show with John Byner called Bizarre. And this was in the early 80s with Showtime. Mm-hmm. So it was like a skit venue type of thing. Just a whole bunch of different little snippets. They had live music. They had little skits. And then they had Bob Einstein as Super Dave Osborne.
No pain.
Oh my God. Fuji Hakamura, his trainer, his coach, his lifeblood, the one who taught him jiu-jitsu, kung fu, everything that he needed to know to survive, and the shit that they went through. Oh my God, so freaking funny. And this guy, he was, I don't want to say Jew-ish, but he was Jew-ish, because every single time
he was born on tax day.
Oh my God, man. So he would relive the same skits over and over again and reuse them. So there's a skit that he did as Super Dave Osborne where it's a drive-through window, right? It's a Super Dave Osborne drive-through window where you get your food. He goes, all right, now, you know, we got your order. We're going to have it ready in 2 minutes. You know, get here and we'll have it ready. Come on through the drive-thru. And as they drive through, it's a big van that goes right through the window, takes him out. You know, of course, it's a dummy and just drives right over him. The reason why I explain this out is because he rehashed this two other times on two different shows and then went on to say to Jimmy Kimmel on one of his shows, oh, yeah, this is a great bit. Never done it before. Turns out that he did it a million times prior and still gets the same laugh.
Fucking Paul Rudd of comedy. Fucking busting fucking Conan O'Brien's shots with the Mac and me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's essentially that.
That's kind of a cool shtick, though. You know what I mean? You get him going, you think it's going to be the same, like Paul Rudd does the fucking Conan. It makes him think it's going to be something different every same. Fucking time. Mac and me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but, you know, that was, you know, how good he was, man. He was a funny guy, and, you know, he was a loving man, and, you know, had his daughter and his wife, and he lived it for them. And, you know, it was just great storytelling from that guy.
You know, and what I remember him about the okay, so I remember Super Dave, like the character Super Dave. Right. Like brothers and I loved the shit out of that dude. He was so fucking dumb, but yeah. Like in the stunts, but the cartoon. When yeah. The cartoon came out, like that was the shit. I remember fucking grabbing the Lunchable out of the fridge and like, all right, let's throw on some fucking Super Dave.
That was the best, man.
And every time, and it was popular too, so mm-hmm. Every time somebody fell down at school, everybody would be like, no pain!
No pain! You know, that was one of the prolific ones that went by, you know, and it hit me hard because I'm a little bit older than you, obviously. But, you know, you still know the character and you know the stuff. But I grew up a little bit longer with him seeing all the funny stuff. It was just great, you know, and that goes into our next tie-in, Betty White.
Yeah, and unlike Paul Walker, did not hit 100 before she died.
Crashed and burned just before. God rest her soul. She was the sweetest character, sweetest person. I mean, hell, a lot of people don't know. I mean, we talked about Sidney Poitier and the things that he did. She was the first to have a black dancer show back in the day. And she told everybody, fuck you, I'm having him on.
Told the network, fuck off, deal with it. Yep. It's my show. I'm on the fucking marquee. I'm famous, bitch. You're going to pull me?
I'm rich, bitch.
Right? Like,
we like to say that she said fuck you, but we can't fact check that, Facebook.
Go ahead and fact check that one. Go ahead, ask her. Call her.
Yeah. The only answer you get are the fucking worms going, she's delicious. But yeah, I mean, she was funny, man. I mean, you watch some of her acting gigs back. She had the chops, man. She was beautiful. She can get a good laugh. She was, I mean, watch the Golden Girls. If you don't like the Golden Girls, well, we can't be friends.
Right? Cookie will be fucking shedding tears if, like, he hears people like fucking Golden Girls. What? That's the first time you're going to see an angry gay man.
Oh, my God, man. She played that character so well. You thought she was that ditzy, but you know what? She wasn't. She just knows how to get a good laugh, man.
They gave her the ditzy character, but they still let her get those fucking zingers in, like the fucking war jokes that she would pull with Blanche, like the like unseemly unknowing and shit, like all sly working him in there.
Yeah.
The I think my favorite scenes from her from there with on the Golden Girls show was when she interacted with Estelle Getty, the one that played Sophia.
Right.
And like because I love the fucking Estelle Getty character, like that fucking I don't give a fuck, I'm just gonna talk shit the whole time, like that shit was badass.
Yeah.
So when those two would go back and forth and have the like the exchanges, like oh, I was dying laughing. Like those were some of my favorite scenes with those two in it.
I've watched practically every episode, although I can't remember every episode. But one episode that stuck out on me that I had forgotten until I saw a documentary that was recently pressed and sent out was there was a special director slash actor that everyone loves. He's well known, was in The Golden Girls. Think about it.
There was so many fucking famous people that did cameos in that shit. Like,
so let me give you a clue. He produced a Grindhouse film.
Huge Knockers 2?
No, not that kind of. That's an upper Grindhouse, you know. No, he also. Back to
Celestein.
Closer, you're getting warmer. Kung Fu movie.
Kung Pao the Legend?
No, not quite. His name begins with a Q.
Quentin Tarantino?
That's right.
What?
Yeah. So they had a bunch of Elvises, as we call them in a group, Elvi. And they were dancing for them, right? The Golden Girls. And one of those Elvi was Quentin Tarantino.
No shit.
No shit. That was his first acting gig.
That's fucking hilarious.
It is great. And I watched it, the scene, and I was like, holy shit, I remember this. And I didn't even recognize that he was in there. But yeah, he was. And it was funny as shit.
That's so funny. The other place I remember, well, the Elvi thing came from Married with Children. Yeah. When he's like, howdy, ma'am. Howdy, ma'am. And then the fucking Asian dude comes in, howdy, ma'am. Oh, dude, I almost pissed myself that first time I saw that. And I was like dying. And then I, you know, the wife didn't get to see it when she was a kid because like her parents were like not for it. But my parents were like, okay, if it's on like network TV, you can go ahead and watch it. I didn't tell them what network it was on. It was on Fox, so technically not a network.
The Playboy Channel.
And so then fucking we're watching it, and she's sitting here going, oh my God, no wonder my parents didn't let me watch this shit. She's like, that's funny though. That's funny as fuck.
You know what it was for me before Married with Children, by the way, I did watch a lot of that, was Benny Hill. Talk about some grandfather shit.
Love fucking Benny Hill.
Oh my God, that was funny as shit. But of course, Betty White wasn't part of Benny Hill.
No, not to be confused with.
She was more sophisticated. You know, and then she goes on to do movies with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock, and then does that offshoot commercial where she tells Ryan Reynolds where to go, and he's all, you can't talk to me like that. And Sandra Bullock's, you know, holding her. You can't talk to a nice, beautiful woman like this, you know, in that fashion. She cursed at me. So freaking funny.
Yeah, I did it. And when and all of a sudden, like, she got to this, like, pop culture icon where she just became a fucking gangster and shit.
Hell yeah.
I was like, and then so she was on some of these, like, these roasts that we watched, you know? And she fucking killed it. Like,
she isn't cursing on those, by the way, but she kills it.
Nope. And it was like, that reminded me of that Jim Jeffries joke. They went to see Bill Cosby because they wanted to see a good, wholesome comedian who didn't rape.
You can't say filth, flour, filth, and filth, fire, flour, filth. God damn it. You can't tell me what to say. Fuck you, Bill Cosby.
Right? She fucking hit that fucking clean comedy or semi-clean comedy without the rape.
Yeah, exactly. And no rapey.
Yeah, that was like fucking Cosby should have taken notes from her.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, you know, it was they were back in the day enough where, you know, when they started putting color in movies and TV.
Technicolor? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Like Sydney Poitier coming out in 58. I'm like, oh, when they started putting color in movies.
Yeah. So, you know, back in the day, she was on The Match Game and, you know, doing the scenarios with that. She was hilarious in that as well. But what really, really got her in the last legs, you know, as a kickoff and back into Hollywood mainstream with the Snickers commercials.
Oh, man, those are fucking awesome.
Man, you're playing like Betty White. That's not what your mother said. Here, have a Snickers. And then, she played a brother in that one, I think.
And all the fucking memes that came out with her in it. Like, yeah. The cat ones, the one with the fucking, with the New Jersey housewife, and then when they took her out, and it's all of a sudden, instead of being sarcastic, yes, Miss White.
Oh, she was great. She was a lovely woman, and she was very personable and nice to all her fans, and also to charities out there as well. She gave as well as she give.
She was big. Donating to like zoos. She was an animal lover, so she I remember seeing documentaries of her fucking bears and shit, like just big ass fucking bears that recognize her too, and like fucking like.
Are we talking about zoo bears, or are we talking about the bears that go to those type of clubs?
Well, Cookie, and then those fucking and an actual bear.
Yeah, you know, you didn't hear that weeping music that made you want to cry every single time.
Right.
In the eyes of an angel. How'd that
fucking
shit go?
Sarah McLachlan. Yeah. This is the ones I would fucking force my pets to watch. Look, fucker. Look, you could have it like that, you don't.
You could be in China. Mm-hmm. Where "what up, dog" means something totally different.
Interestingly enough, showing those commercials to children and telling them, look how good you have it, also works.
Oh, yeah, it does too, yeah.
That's a good attitude adjuster. Yeah.
Sally Smothers, you know, eating chicken legs in front of people that are starving in other nations type of stuff.
She went out to give them all fucking thigh masters.
She ate all the chicken thighs.
Well, that was Suzanne Somerville. She did the same shit, right? Yeah. I mean, it's fucking stupid. Why would you send a fucking fat person to talk about how people are starving? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Oh, look at this child. He's starving right now. Excuse me. Sandwich break.
That's like fucking sending Tyrone Biggums to fucking talk to people about not doing drugs. Like, could you imagine that fucker as a D.A.R.E. counselor? D.A.R.E.
You go smoke that crack. Let me show you why it's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh, man. You know, the things that she accomplished and the films and everything that she did was just wonderful. I always thought her as a great actress, actor, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, no, she was great. And, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would have traded any one of those or both of those fucking island boys for Betty White to hang around another couple of years.
I don't know. I would have preferred Betty White going with them going, island boys.
That would be fucking hilarious. She could have roasted them. Can you imagine how funny that would have been?
Hilarious, man. She was hilarious until the last week of her life. She was still doing jokes.
Yeah, and so, like, yeah, that's everything that I've ever heard from everybody that's ever met her that I know of.
I wish I met her.
Me too. Like, it seemed like that would be a cool fucking old lady to fucking sit there and shoot the shit with.
It would have been nice to have her right in the middle of us smoking dope and just enjoying the show.
Right? That would have been awesome. We'll do like a fucking, we'll do like they did with Tupac at fucking Coachella. We'll have her chilling here with us. A surprise appearance by Betty White.
Yes, man. 3D rendering. Oh, you know, speaking of jokes and comics and everything, you know, going on to the next prolific actor, you know, we're going to jump to Louis Anderson.
I don't know a lot about his wife, but I know that she never had to look far for a fucking bottle opener. Jacked up teeth. Get that shit. Get that shit fixed. To quote Rob Riggle.
Yeah, that's right. You know, he's always been overweight. He's always been a big heart. He's always had great jokes. He was another one that really wasn't too nasty. He didn't do too many, you know.
Life with Louis.
Yes. His jokes were more on the teetering edge of being really grotesque and, you know, being just normal jokes. He could tell it well. He had a great punchline, and he was just got that nasally whiny voice.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's what made that fucking cartoon is like he could just use his own fucking voice for the kid.
Hey, you're going to eat that sausage.
And interestingly enough, that was one of the, if you remember, that was one of the comics that was in contention for the list, the 25 list of season fours.
Yeah. Yeah, we just didn't choose him because we had so many others. And, you know, it's not to say that there's not a lot of great comics out there and that he didn't make the cut because he didn't make the cut, because who are we to judge?
Well, we've seen, like, a lot of fucking comedy. I'm pretty sure at this point we're pretty good judges of what's fucking funny. And
I don't know. People would say we're a bunch of assholes.
I mean, that's true, but we're not. We're also funny on top of that.
That's true. That's true.
Like the added bonus.
Well, you know why, right?
Why is that?
Because we're island boys.
Motherfucker.
I'm going to get you every single guy this time, too. But, yeah, Louis Anderson, man, you know, making it out on The Tonight Show back in the 80s. You know, The Tonight Show was the kickoff for everything. You know, if there's any young people out there listening to us, Johnny Carson was it, you know. If you made it to The Tonight Show, you pretty much seeded your lifetime in comedy or movies or anything else, because if he backed you, if he liked you, you were an in to anywhere. You could get back into The Tonight Show. You can get into any of the stand-up routines in the LA, you know, get big crowds going. You get large generation of revenue and everything else, you know, just getting out there. And that's where he started, you know, so to speak, with a lot of actors and a lot of comedians back in the day. And he was just, I mean, you listen to some of his stuff, stand-up, it was funny for its time. It's still funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, like you said, so for the younger people, the Tonight Show and having Johnny Carson, like, invite you to sit on the couch was the equivalent of, like, having Big O invite you to sit here in between us and share our spotlight. Like,
here,
it's,
just sit on my lap.
You know right what here. I mean? And we're talking about the first thing that pops up. And so we, you know, so like that to put it into perspective, that's how huge a deal it was. Like, oh, yeah. to have him ask you, was like having Big O ask you to come sit on rice on the rice and beans panel. Like,
which I'm never going to do, you bunch of trolls.
Right. I mean, come with some good shit. Like, the benchmark for jokes is set very, very high. Like, yes. like me after work. And,
he ain't lying.
Yeah, and we saw that yesterday. Walking down, up and down the same fucking aisle.
Motherfucking pie getting high. Yeah, you know, you got jokes, you got humor. Everybody's got jokes and humor. You know, we may not be funny all the time, but, you know, we can keep the zingers going. And some people just can't do that.
The fucking Facebook fact checkers are going to have a fucking field day with that. You know, yeah. Goddamn well we're funny all the time.
Check that fact, motherfucker.
They're going to fucking stop our show right in the middle. Nope, sorry. They said they were on the funny. That's fucking totally not true. That one I'll let them flag.
Bunch of fucking Karens flagged us.
Yeah, man, we still got to do that game show now that we have this big studio to work with. So here's the idea, people. You find us the most Karens you know, and you send them all to us at once. We're going to lock them all in a room. We're going to throw the surround sound on, and then we're going to fucking lay into it with the most offensive fucking jokes we can. We're going to call the show Last One Triggered.
Nice. Man, I tell you what, we're going to be having endless loops of the Aristocrats playing.
Oh, yeah. We fucking throw on Gilbert Gottfried's or fucking Bob Saget's. Bob Saget's Aristocrats. That
oh, my God, man. That threw me over the edge.
That was okay, so that's, I think, what launched him as the quote-unquote dirty comic, even though, like, he... like people, like, I mean, Bob the Dirty Comic wasn't like really that fucking dirty.
Before America's Funniest Home Videos, he did The Tonight Show. He was also on the circuit, and a lot of that stuff that he did on the circuit was dirty. I'm just saying.
For the time, yes. But then if you look at it at the standards of like when he got that pop culture fame, mm-hmm. right, and was labeled the dirty comic,
yeah.
Like, if he had used that material then it would be like, it would have been lukewarm, right? Yeah. Like, not. So I think a lot of that fucking, like, the dirty comic shit from before, like, it, I don't know. I think he really fucking ran with it once they started telling him, now you're dirty.
So one of the stand-up routines he did before he did America's Funniest Home Videos, it was on a Showtime new stand-up skit. He had already been on the circuit. He already done his comedy fame. You know, there's a lot of people who knew about him, but now you're seeing on Showtime and HBO and stuff like that. He gets on stage. He goes, thanks for the applause. Hey, you know, I just like to talk about my wife. You know, I'm nuts over my wife. She's this tall. Oh, yeah. So, you know, and it's just right under his balls. So that right there set the tone of the whole comedy hour that he did. And I tell you what, man, he no holds barred. That guy was just all out there. And he had to dial that back when he did America's Funniest Home Videos. And he talks about how people were sending him porn tapes, basically, for review on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Like, if he was the one that's fucking reviewing them, like, bitch, I got people for that. I'm famous, fucker. I'm Bob Saget.
This one's a snuff video. I'm going to put this under my coat and make sure nobody else sees it.
They just give all the hot chick fucking entries to Bob. They're like, here you go, sir. Yeah. Here's your fucking spank bank.
But so for the longest time, you know, he was off the comedy circuit. And he wasn't doing that because, you know, he didn't want a bunch of Karens to destroy his livelihood. You know, and then he goes from America's Funniest Home Videos to Full House, right?
No, the other way around. He did Full House first, and then he was AFV.
Okay.
And then, but that's when he started getting more that after he did the AFV thing, that's when like more of the modern or like the not like fucking VHS versions of his stand-up started getting out, because then that's when the Showtime specials then HBO jumped into the mix. There were tours. I do remember tours seeing they advertised out, at least on the West Coast, tours that he had that he was going to be doing. I'm like, the Full House, Dad? I'm like, unless he takes the other fuckers with him, I'm like, you know, because at the time it was like, you know, like the internet wasn't readily available like it is now, and we're not looking at.
Well, he did America's Funniest Home Videos for, what, 10 years or something like that before he finally tapered off?
Before they fucking brought on Tom Bergeron?
Well, Tom Bergeron was a good pull. I'm just saying. I liked him.
I like how they fuck, like, everybody fucks with that dude, and they're like, and then they're all like, Tom Bergeron, fuck you.
But yeah, you know, Bob Saget, he was great. I mean, what was your favorite Bob Saget acting scene?
Right.
Come on, you can do it.
Here you go. Marijuana is not a drug. Have you ever sucked dick for weed?
I've sucked dick for weed. Everybody stand up and boo this man. Boo.
That was my favorite Bob Saget moment ever. Marijuana is not a drug.
Nice. Yes, I was hoping you would say that, because mine's a close second. Opens up the door, walks in. My God, what did you do to my bathroom? There's shit on the wall. There's shit on the ceiling. There's shit on the toilet. There's shit everywhere. Dumb and dumber.
Oh, my God. That was fucking funny.
Oh, jeez, man. He knew how to get it out there, man. He was a funny motherfucker.
He really was. And then, again, so there's my second candidate that I would have kept instead of one of the Island Boys.
Island Boys. Oh, my gosh. You know what? He was just really, really funny. And then the Aristocrats, his version of the Aristocrats was just disgusting.
It was like a shit ass, like a giant shit ass.
And it's not just that he says shit ass. He reiterates the same terminology over and over and over, kind of like, Island Boys.
the term was hemorrhaging shit ass.
Yes. There's blood, there's piss, there's shit everywhere. Did I mention that there was fecal matter everywhere? There's blood, piss, and shit. Yeah, I just heard that. But did you know there was blood, piss, and shit everywhere? I got it. Okay, blood, piss, and shit now.
That was the other one, and I'm glad he didn't fuck up the end.
Oh, God, no, yeah.
Like fucking Drew Carey when he was like, we call it the Aristocats. Fuck!
As soon as you do that, you lose leverage with any comedian. If you fuck up the last line, that's it. You're never going to hear the end of it.
Riser, too. Riser
yes, was, he fucked
was
it
fucking
up.
Fucked it up. It was going on about how fuck this, and like it was gold for fucking 20, 30 straight minutes, and then fucked it up at the end.
God damn it. But you can never let it go. I mean, that's one of those type of jokes that you can go on forever and ever. And if you mess up the end, everyone's just going to remember that bad part.
That's why when we did it and in our individual ones, I fucking had the fucking post-it hanging right next to the screen, and it said Aristocrats! Exclamation.
I didn't have it, by the way, because I got it right.
I didn't look at it, but I didn't want to leave anything to chance.
But I tell you something, I didn't say Aristocats, but I did have a cat in my Aristocrats.
It was it was that fucking the variation. And that's the beautiful thing of that fucking joke, is that you can like vary it however you want. Like I thought Gilbert Gottfried pushed me over the edge, and then I saw fucking Saget's, I was like, this motherfucker took some notes.
Oh yeah, he did. So Gilbert Gottfried, you know, his is awesome. It's just freaking awesome. But you know what? If I could shit bars of gold, that was Saget's line. I shit you not. I mean, so, you know, you look at some of the stuff that he did.
That's the name of any party trick. I swallow two pieces of string and I fucking return them to you. I return them to you in about 30 minutes.
It's really? Called, what do you call it?
I shit you not.
I don't know why I didn't get that. Good times right there, man. But, you know, Bob Saget, he was just, he was almost like a Bob Einstein in the beginning of his career. He would tell those straight-laced jokes and everybody laugh and he wouldn't even smile and he'd go on to the next joke. As he got through, you know, did a stand-up more and more, he would smile and enjoy it more often, talking about fucking Kimmy Gibbler,
yeah.
Oh, God, so fucking
and
funny.
And the Olsen twins when they started making fun of that shit. Oh, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite fucking jokes from that his roast when they did on Comedy Central was like the fucking, how do you make an ass hurt? And he's like, well, Bob Saget gives you a drink of milk and then you wake up an hour later and your ass hurts.
No, Bill Cosby took message from that. No.
With the raping and the fingering and the raping
and the fisting. So, you know, we're getting to the end of this episode here, and we're doing really good, I think, you know, talking about death. But one thing that still hasn't happened.
Why the fuck is Keith Richards still alive? How the fuck did that? He's like going to be here with the fucking cockroaches at the end of the fucking apocalypse. Like,
who the fuck? Why the fuck? How the fuck?
You know what? Seriously, like, I want to just fucking, like, let's draw some of his blood, and I'm going to fucking shoot it up and see what the fuck happens. Because, like,
okay,
maybe that motherfucker's a vampire. Maybe that motherfucker's, like, found the fountain of youth. Maybe, like, fucking maybe he made a deal and he wanted to be the last person on Earth.
So I forgot which comedian talked about this, but I think he's right in hitting on something that he gets babies, draws their blood, and mainline infuses them into his so he can continue living.
That was Trey Parker and Matt Stone from fucking South Park when they did the fucking the Christopher Reeves episode.
I think it was done also from a stand-up comedian, though, too, so I just can't remember. But, yeah. Oh, my God. This guy plays Johnny Depp's dad in fucking Pirates of the Caribbean and looks like death's doorstep. And
he
yet
didn't even need fucking costume or makeup. That's just how he looks.
He wakes up in the morning on, and that's hello. What the fuck, man? He's probably the nicest guy in the world, but god dang, man, The Mummy Returns.
From the musician standpoint, him, guys like him and Jimmy Page that look like they're fucking goddamn 1,000 and they were only in their like fucking 20s when they broke. And I was like, those fucking drugs, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I guess. I think it was preservatives.
They were fucking, being that fucking big into music, I'm sure they were, they got the fucking best of the best fucking drugs ever. Like
monosodium glutamate, going to eat Chinese all night.
If I go to a place and the fucking Chinese restaurant says no MSG, fuck that. We're looking for the next place.
Damn straight, because we know Keith Richards is still around.
Right?
God,
and
man.
So that I'm just fucking shocked. Like, how the fuck is that dude still alive? Like, him and Charlie Sheen. Like, I know Charlie Sheen's like fucking,
well, he's
fucking
got tiger blood
knocking on that door now. unless he's gonna go the Magic Johnson route, which I mean, he has enough money to do.
Well, he's not knocking on any door unless it's a hot chick's back door.
Fucking Charlie Sheen, the fucking the only guy to piss off more Jews than Hitler.
Or piss on, depending on what the lady looked like.
That was R. Kelly. Trip, trip. My favorite meme from the R. Kelly, in the whole R. Kelly shit was him, and it looked like the dude from was that fucking Oz?
Okay.
Oz, the dude from Oz, the real big fucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, I said, play, sing Ignition, Robert. And it's R. Kelly just crying.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that's, hey, that's our news and recent actor deaths right there for you.
And, you know, like, it's sad. Again, we pour a little out for Betty White, Bob Saget, and
for all of them, goddammit.
Okay, for all of them.
You know, even Keith Richards is still alive. May he rest in peace.
Keith, if you want to come on, talk to us. Tell us what the secret is.
Yeah.
You got an open invite anytime, buddy.
Yeah, and like, if you want to come here and punch me in the eye, I'll let you.
I mean, you're British and you got better teeth than the fucking Louis Anderson. So, like, that's got to say something.
That's true. You know what? And, you know, we'll come over here and Jester over here plays the drums and, you know, I'll play some spoons and then you can sing Island Boys.
All right, you guys. Well, this is just the beginning. We are just getting started. Welcome to season 6, motherfuckers. We are going to keep this shit going for a very long time to go. So, until next time, take a toke and watch all your worries go up in smoke. Peace.